Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Chamber Channel's Five Questions podcast. This is the place where we take a deep dive with industry leaders for an inside look at their world and how they can make a difference in yours.
The start of a new year always usually brings a few New Year's resolutions, and health tends to be at the top of the list for many people. In our studio to talk about improving your health as well as new trends in research is Dr. Timothy Alakakos. He's a cardiologist with Hilton Head Regional Healthcare. Let's listen. So, Dr. Alakakos, this is the beginning of the year, and people are always, health is paramount. It's always something that people are making their resolutions to do all the right things, and a lot of trends pop up. Can you tell us a little bit from your perspective as a cardiologist, just sort of the anticipated trends for 2024? What do you see happening that you want people to know about when it comes to health and specifically heart health?
Well, thanks for having us, first of all. I think there's a lot of possibilities, you know, in cardiology and in medicine in general, just because, you know, technology is evolving. Medical technology seems to be evolving by leaps and bounds. And just, you know, due to computerization and, you know, evolving technologies, just simply with that end, and then medicine just kind of takes hold and takes advantage of that. So, you know, first, there's a million areas that we can kind of absorb some help with that. First of all, and we touched on that a little bit, you know, earlier, it really is just information exchange is a big one in medicine. We haven't conquered that well yet. And I think we're getting to the point of really improving that quite a bit. And if we can get through that and just simple communication between doctors and from doctors to patients and patients to doctors, make that easier than the ways we've been doing that, I think that would really help tremendously. And I think we're getting there. So that's one thing. And that's more of a general, you know, that's more of a general improvement that we can hope for and we can anticipate very soon. As far as the rest of medicine goes, I think our ability to image and make more efficient all the testing that we do is going to improve very significantly. It has already. To the point where I think we're only going to be limited by, you know, cost and patient regulated factors, time and effort that the patient wants to go through. So I think that's improving quite significantly. You're going to start getting into AI and, you know, all the artificial intelligence, factors and conversations that everyone's already having. That's going to really come into play with us as well. We talk about it. We discuss it as doctors already, and we wonder where that's going to go. So I think that's going to be kind of a limitless, you know, area for us. It really depends on what direction the engineers that are kind of putting all of this together, putting all the algorithms together, take us. But that's going to be exciting. I do wonder myself where that's headed. I hope the human side is still given a lot of importance and preference, you know, in the process. But I think regardless of that, we still have a lot of benefit to, you know, to take from that. Medicines are going to benefit from that. I think things are going to become more individualized. You start to hear the words, you know, genetics and genomics and very more specifically tailored medications to each individual patient. I think that's going to improve. You're already seeing it. I think people are already seeing commercials out there on television, radio, with medications with specific goals and treatments aimed at very specific illnesses and disease processes, very specific patients, whereas you didn't see that in the past. And I think we're starting to see some of the benefit of not only technology, but also development of medicine and research that's being done right now. So I think those are, you know, big advancements that we look forward to and are already seeing benefits from.
I'm really interested to see how AI impacts medicine. It's something I use every day now. I use AI in my work, whether it's writing or different things. So And I've just heard snippets of its really big impact on medical research and all those things. So I think that's going to be an interesting technology in what you do every day.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it is coming into all of our spaces. It's not just, medicine, of course, but I think it does have, it's going to have a special place there. It is going to be able to help us. Perhaps it'll start in imaging, the radiologists will start to see some benefit first as the computers start to analyze our images, and go through the some of the bread and butter and perhaps more tedious processes. And then the doctor goes in and, reviews that part. But I think it'll come into all the fields. I do wonder where that's headed as well.
If you had this time of year, there's no shortage of headlines about everything related to health and medicine. And often I think sometimes, whether it's ailments or diseases that kind of are the flavor of the moment, get a lot of attention. But when it comes right down to it, heart disease is still one of the top killers in this country, isn't it? It's one of the top health. Talk a little bit about that, what you think people understand and don't get about heart disease and
sure.
the implications.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Heart disease has always been important and still is and still remains the number one killer in several age groups. Unfortunately, even though we've made strides, and our strides and improvement have been in prevention primarily, decreasing the frequency of smoking in several groups has made very important headway. And then, of course, that has benefits that are seen decades down the line. So that helps. And hopefully that continues. In that way. Unfortunately, cardiology, and because of genetics and family history that is, passed on not 100% of the time, but very much so, and sometimes more consistently than we would want, that really has dramatic effects. And so far, we haven't been able to alter much of that, and hopefully there'll be some breakthroughs in the future to directly attack that and help that. But in the meantime, we do what we can to prevent, some of the risk profiles. So we try to reduce cholesterol. We try to, influence people's diet. We try to get people to become more active regularly, to maintain weight, to try to treat the things that come from excess weight, to try to, continue a good, simple evaluation, but something that would be of benefit to reduce the negative factors that are causing problems in people down the line. So I think we've been effective from that regard. I think that'll continue to improve again, as a touch on our initial point, as communication between physicians and patients comes into play, evaluations can occur, as more awareness happens, with patients. I think we still have problems with that, because depending on where you are, depending on where a doctor practices, the way we practice and the type of topics we touch on and the type of risk factors we try to influence and focus on can be quite different. It depends on whether you're in inner city or downtown area or in the suburbs or in a rural area. There's different topics that people bring up. And there's different focuses that we try to improve, because we can't touch on everything all the time, at once. But we try to focus on the things we think might be more important.
You mentioned weight and its impact on heart health. I know there's been a lot of talk in the media about drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy and their impact on heart health with losing weight. What are your thoughts on that?
They're great drugs. They're great medications. So far, my personal inclination is anything you can do to maintain a normal, quote unquote, a normal weight, and to allow for some significant weight loss in patients that can really use it, That is a really dramatic improvement. And that perhaps is one of the most important things that, you know, all the doctors can do, not simply focused on cardiologists. You know, we focus on it a lot because it ends up in our territory because carrying some excess weight causes so many negative endpoints for cardiologists. Structural changes in the heart, high blood pressure, sleep apnea, lipid issues, elevated cholesterol. These are things that are really managed, you know, that can be managed, but, you know, can always be traced, you know, in many people to excess weight. And whatever will allow for that, so far, those type of medications, Wegovy, Mounjaro, Ozempic, they can, you know, so far, things are looking up. I really hope more people have access to it. Because sometimes it's difficult for financial reasons or insurance coverage, that sort of thing. But I've seen some great effects. I mean, it's really something else. I haven't seen anything like it in a while.
Yeah, I think it's having an impact on a lot of things, including the food industry. And speaking of food, are you seeing people? You mentioned the importance of diet. Do you think it's getting better? It seems like in a way people are more conscious of health these days. Mm-hmm. And you know, processed food and all those things. Do you feel like you're seeing that in your practice and it's important to heart health?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think overall it seems to be trending better, but not 100%. You know, it depends on where you are, again, depends on location. It's great to want to eat like a rabbit, you know, carrots and celery and lettuce. I just don't think most of us can do that. So whatever little help we can get with that really can help. I think overall, as a society, we're trending better because awareness is more broad out there. I think we're, you know, even as when I was a kid, I remember, you know, everybody pushed, you know, eat your meat and eat your entire meal. And now it's portion control. Avoid red meat, avoid fats, and really be aware of what you get into your body. I think that part is really helping. Again, it's awareness. It really is the number one factor out there. And it's not 100%. And it hasn't touched on our entire system yet.
Yeah, I think it's you're right. There's just so much information out there as well. If you ever told me that we'd have a television show on the Blue Zones, or places that I would have said you're crazy, but it's out there. You know, the health information, I think there's more access to information now than ever. If you were to tell not just your patients, but just humans in general, what the top two things you think they should be doing to keep their heart healthy, top two, maybe top three, or what are the biggest impact things that I can do, you can do, anyone can do to keep their heart healthy?
Great question. I think the number one, and of course, again, it depends on location where you practice, but I think this is a little more generalizable. Number one would be weight management. It really would. That affects so many things. And I think some people would also be surprised as to what their ideal weight, you know, would be and what they should be shooting for. But that's really number one, two, and three in my mind, because it affects so many things that we that touch us all and also touch our practice. So again, it affects, you know, lipid management, affects hypertension, affects other things such as sleep apnea, a lot of and then from there you see that it could lead to things like coronary artery disease, your risk for heart attack, your risk for stroke, everything in between, you know, as well. So I think that's very important. That's why it's so important. You know, another, you know, factor would really be managing hypertension, managing blood pressure. Part of the problem there is a lot of our patients don't know they're hypertensive, and they don't want to be hypertensive, so they don't check their blood pressure, you know, some of the time. So sometimes, you know, being aware of that and having your blood pressure checked and seeing your doctor regularly, I think that really would help. Those are very, I think those are some of the big ones. There are lesser you know, things as well. And it depends on, you know, what other, what else is going on. You know, diabetes is certainly, you know, very common out there right now. Part of that is because we're becoming a, to some extent, we're becoming a more overweight society. So diabetes is one thing that, that comes from that as well. It's certainly affected, and diabetic management is affected by that very much so. So I guess, again, that circles back to, you know, anything that you can do to maintain your weight, including the medications that are out recently, that really does help. But I think those three things, if we could conquer some of that, I think it would go a long, long way, probably, you know, put some of us out of business for good reason, but that's okay. But we're not there yet.
Do you have a patient that comes to mind for you that you've seen really, really take control of their own health and come out on the other side as a success story? And what does that difference feel like to them?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, for us, when a patient, and again, it gets back to controlling their risk factors for heart disease, for the long term. Primarily that would be, you know, weight management, and for us, smoking cessation, that's huge. But everything else trickles along with that. You know, when you can manage those things, particularly weight management, lipid levels start to improve. Your overall cardiac risk improves dramatically over the long term. I mean, it really makes a big, big difference. When we have several algorithms and several calculations that we can make, and it takes things like the kind of things that we've been discussing, you know, weight, cholesterol levels, factors such as smoking, diabetes, family history, all these things. When we plug in all of that, you know, we can come up with kind of a generalizable risk scale, you know, for each individual patient. And when they start to chip away at those things, they're percent risk over 10 or 20 year period goes down dramatically. And if that's one thing that if we could enhance that a little bit and make patients more aware that these little things that you can do consistently will really buy you more years or better years, better quality of life, you know, what have you, avoidance of medications, avoidance of illness, avoidance of downtime, you know, all these things, I think we would do a better job to manage this process, you know.
I think there's a lot of attention right now between the intersection of mental health and physical health. How do you foresee that? Do you see that in your practice? Do you see, I don't think people usually relate heart and mental health together in some ways, but when you're, talk a little bit about that. Do you see that?
Oh,
within?
My goodness, yes.
Yeah.
All the time. More so lately than ever before. I think there's been a lot of stress in the world over the last few years, more than I've experienced in the past. And because of that, I think part of my job is, you know, giving reassurance, perhaps, or helping a patient kind of get through the system a little bit and their medical evaluations, and trying to, you know, simplify things a little bit, because many of our patients come in extremely worried and concerned and thinking they're, you know, they need to go in and, you know, finish up their paperwork because they don't have, you know, long to go. And that's mostly not the case, you know, certainly. And a lot of this is kind of guiding their way through the system a little bit. And, you know, I don't know what comes first, the chicken or the egg, but, you know, being physically ill, you know, always affects how you feel emotionally, mentally. And then again, though, if you come in with emotional stress and anxiety and you know, a lot of things on your plate, on your mental plate, that can certainly affect how your physical status is doing. That can increase your blood pressure over the long term. That causes, you know, increases inflammatory states. I mean, it really does affect many, many things, and particularly over the long term. If we could break that cycle somewhere, if we can improve that on either end, I think it really helps. So we talk to patients, you know, we talk to patients all the time about these things. Hopefully we give some reassurance. I think if we affect one positively, it tends to affect the other as well. Everyone likes to hear some good news, you know, from one end or the other. And, And I think we can help. I've become a little bit, part therapist and part psychologist, in my practice every single day, and some people more than others, of course. But I think there's a lot to be done on both ends there. Yes.
But it matters. You said a word that is really a buzzword you can't get away from these days, and that's inflammation.
Yeah.
I can't turn around without hearing the word inflammation.
Sure.
And that's a big part of heart health. Talk a little bit about what that word means and why it matters.
Yeah. So inflammation, it's really the heart and the vascular system in general, has been a buzzword for us for a long time. Many people, would be surprised to hear that the statins that we use are not just all about cholesterol. These cholesterol lowering medications such as atorvastatin or simvastatin or rosuvastatin, all these statin medications that we typically use to lower cholesterol, we really, the secret, or maybe it's not so much a secret anymore, but what people mostly don't realize is we don't give it just to lower the numbers. We also give it for its anti-inflammatory effect, because it's not just the levels, and it's just not just the degree of deposition of plaque in the vessels. It's what we call pacifying the plaque or decreasing the amount of inflammation that's there. And the most of these statins do address that, directly. We don't have many medications that help in that regard as much as the statins do. We've tried, others. There's been trials, multiple times of other medications, and they simply haven't, they haven't been as successful as statins have been found to be. So there is a lot to be said for that field. There's a lot of research going on still. It has been going on for decades. I think it would be great if we can educate our patients a little better that the numbers are not not the only thing that we look at when we would like to prescribe something like that. Diet also helps that. That's part of what goes on when you have a high fast food diet, let's just say, and a high carbohydrate diet. Diabetics are affected a whole lot by this process. So there's many things that go into that. Inflammation pervades the entire body, but the vascular system, it can really wreak havoc in short term and long term. And I think there's still a lot to be said about that. There's a lot to be done for that. I'll bet there will be some pretty good strides in medications that we have aimed directly at that in the next few years.
Wow, some great tips to go into 2024 a whole lot healthier. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. The podcast continues to grow, and never miss an episode of our 5 Questions podcast by subscribing to the Chamber Channel on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take a moment to download, subscribe, and leave us a review. It helps us reach more people.